Every time we approach this feast of the Holy Family, I realize I do so with great fear and trepidation. Because, how many of you have had about enough family by now, since the holidays are kind of like a few days old? On this fifth day of Christmas, most of the time everybody's like about ready for the family to be over so that they can get back to normal, whatever that is, okay? And I stop and I chuckle because it is sometimes a reality that our families are both a blessing and a challenge, okay? Families are exactly that. They're a blessing and a challenge. And for all of us, unless you're in absolute and complete denial, okay, whenever we come back together again, we've learned when we were younger how to push each other's buttons in unbelievably profound ways. And when everybody gets back together again, we can't help ourselves but to go back to pushing those buttons whenever we get the opportunity, whenever we get the chance. And so, most of the time, most family Christmases are good, but there's always a little bit of drama, all right? There's always at least a little bit of drama because of what's happening between all those family members. And drama is really nothing new in our lives, okay? Notice that there was drama in families even on our readings today. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having all these admonitions about the way to act, okay, and how to behave, all right? And so we get that admonition, in the first reading that just says, you know, learn how to treat each other as a family, okay? Be good to one another. Treat each other right, all right? And then, of course, we get to that famous section, what I call the nudging section at the end of the epistle, okay? So that if people are sitting next to husband, wife, people are sitting next to children, they all want to listen to whichever sentence they want to listen to. But basically, everybody's being told the same thing, and that is, love each other. Submit to love for one another out of love for Christ. That's what we're all being told. And so, in that whole thing, wives be submissive to your husbands. The wives, you know, the husbands are usually nudging the wives. Okay, and but the next line comes in that says, "But husbands, love your wives." In other words, they're no longer property. Okay, like they were in the good old days. Anybody want to go back to those? Gentlemen, if you raise your hand, you're in big trouble. Okay? And so they're basically being told the same thing, although in different language. Love each other. Okay? And then it gets to the point where, children obey your parents, and the parents usually give the kids a look that says, see? Mm-hmm. Sure. Did you hear that? Listen. All right? Obey your parents. But in the next line, okay, it's like, parents, don't be too rough on your kids. Okay? And so it goes back and forth. It's basically everybody being told to live in love. And that's what we need to learn how to do as a family. All right? That's what we all need to learn how to do in our individual families, in our parish family, and for God's sake in the world, in our country. How do we love each other? Because really, that's what marks us out as a family. I know that family relationships can be difficult. One of the reasons why it's so hard to preach on this weekend is because of how many families are messy. How do you, if you had an abusive parent, how do you love and honor your father or your mother, whoever was abusive? How do you do that? That's hard. It's hard. And so, again, we always say, no, you shouldn't be abused, and you should be safe, and you should do all those things, and we tell everybody all that. And then that person still sits in the midst of the church going, there's something wrong with me because something happened to me. And while none of that's true, we know that that's the reality from which we come and the reality in which we live. So I never want anybody walking away from our parish thinking that just because things didn't go perfectly in a family, that there's not a space for everybody in the bigger family. All right? We live in a world today where families are stretched and torn and tattered. And I still think it would be a good idea if we told everybody they couldn't get married until at least they were 25. But nobody's listening to me. All right? And in there, we've got all kinds of families who make an attempt to become a family. Sometimes it doesn't work. And then we got folks sitting among us with just a mom or just a dad. Okay, and the other's off somewhere else, perhaps. And then everybody sits around feeling guilty because, oh gosh, it didn't work. Well, I hope nobody goes away thinking that there's not a chance for you at holiness just because you maybe didn't make the right choices and you didn't have what you were supposed to have from the very beginning. we've got to figure that out. We've got to figure out how to make people feel like they belong, even when it all didn't go right. How do we do that? So we got families of all kinds of different shapes and sizes. We've even got families these days with two moms or two dads. And I hope nobody goes away from here being mistreated by somebody else just because their family's different. We may not be able to rubber stamp everything they do. We may not be able to make that a sacrament or any of those things. But I'm here to tell you, we're still a place where love is supposed to be present. And if we're not practicing that, then we're going to be the ones that have to answer to Jesus in that regard. So how do we love everybody, despite the shape and the function and the makeup of that family? Because all families should be loved. Every single person in God's family should be cared for and loved on. And are we doing that? Because you see, what makes up a family? A family is certainly not in perfection. It wasn't in yours and it wasn't in mine. I'm here to tell you, my mom and dad and brother make a lot fewer mistakes now that they're in heaven than they did when they were here on earth. And I'm sure that I was not always a picnic, as you well know. So there's no such thing as a perfect family. But we're supposed to be families that try and choose to love one another. That's what we're being reminded of today. You think everything went well in the Holy Family? I'm firmly convinced that that's why we have so few stories about the Holy Family when they were young. Do you realize that, you know, that Jesus' adolescence had to be like every other adolescence, which means that it was stormy? Okay? It's just the way it works. It's by definition that it works that way. Everybody wants their freedom, and at the same time, the parents aren't supposed to give the freedom yet. It's always difficult. Always difficult and always messy. All right? And if you don't believe that, you haven't had an adolescent in your home in a while. It's the way it works. Do you realize Jesus was grounded after he smarted off to his mother? He was grounded until he was 33. That's why we don't have any other stories of him. You know? But in there, we've got to remember that this is just, that being perfect or not fussing with each other is not what makes you holy. What makes you holy is deciding that you're going to try to live in love despite all the difficulties. And that means that even if you were hurt within your family, you still pray for the other ones. Yeah, you keep them at a distance and don't let them hurt you anymore. But at the same time, you pray for them. At the same time, you still recognize their right to exist alongside you. That's love. I wish we did the same thing in our country. We are so polarized. We can disagree, and I think we should disagree sometimes, depending on what the issue is. But even when we disagree, how do we still choose to love each other and move forward together? How do we do that? We're not even good at it as a parish, because trust me, I hear the conversations from time to time. We're not good at it. How do we do it? How do we continue to choose to be family with each other, even when it's difficult? How do we do that as a nation? How do we do that as a world? These are difficult things. I'm not saying they're easy. But I'm saying, what defines us as a family that's holy? And I think that the only thing we can use is for the definition is a family that chooses to live in love. Not always alike, but in love. How do we do that? You see, sometimes I stop and I think back to some of the words that Father Jim Telhorst, who preached on my presiding premiere 33 years ago. And the first thing that he said, which I thought was really entertaining, was he was looking at the Holy Family and Joseph making all these choices, going from place to place, trying to follow God's dream. Now, do you think that his family thought that he was crazy when he was saying, okay, we got to move again now, because they had another dream? But they did. Joseph tried to follow those dreams wherever they took him. They were taking him where God wanted. And sometimes as we do that, our family members look at us as though we are crazy. But Joseph did it anyway. Jim said, he said, because I was getting ready to move from St. Louis down here to southern Missouri. And Jim said, Jay, I'm still not sure what you figured out. I'm still not sure who's Herod and where's the promised land. Well, I've been in this promised land for 33 years. Most of them have been good. I stop and I think that we follow that dream even when it's crazy. We follow that dream even when we're not sure where God's taken us. We follow those dreams because that's what it is to live in love. And when we live in love, God takes us where he's going to take us and does with us what he wants. How do we do that with each other? The other thing he said as he got to the end of the homily, okay, is he said, later today, you're going to be pushing cards and envelopes into his hand. You're going to be saying, congratulations, Father Jay. And he said, that's a good thing. He said, because indeed, that's for us who he spiritually now is. But he said, as you do that, always remember this. Don't you dare call him Father unless you're first willing to be family. Don't you dare call him Father unless you're first willing to be family. And that is who we are. For each other. A blessing, I hope and pray. Always a challenge. I trust it. But in our willingness to be family, our willingness to be a family is where our holiness will come from. That is where our holiness will come from. And so on this fifth day of Christmas, I wish you again a Merry Christmas. I wish you a blessed feast of the Holy Family. And for you and for me, I wish for all of us the holiness that comes from trying to live in God's love.